Good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I want to thank you so much for tuning in this morning because this is going to be a very special program. We're speaking with and hearing from the internationally acclaimed author and lecturer, Marianne Williamson. And we'll be speaking about her newest book, Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment. And as I said, Marianne Williamson is internationally acclaimed. 6 of her 10 published books have been New York Times bestsellers. And these include A Return to Love, A Year of Miracles, The Law of Divine Compensation, The Age of Miracles, A Course in Weight Loss, Everyday Grace, A Woman's Worth, Illuminata, and The Gift of Change. Marianne Williamson also founded Project Angel Food, a Meals on Wheels program that serves over 1,000 homebound people in the Los Angeles area daily. And she co-founded the Global Renaissance Alliance, a worldwide network of peace activists. And she's been on many popular programs, including Oprah, Good Morning America, and Charlie Rose. But I am graced this morning to be joined by Marianne Williamson. So first, I'd like to say hello and welcome.
Oh, hi, and thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm very, very happy to have you on. And I believe that your new book, Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment, is a bit of a revolutionary presentation so that people can begin to understand that their experiences are real, but they're also valuable. And we don't need to live in a state of judgment over all of the experiences and changes that we might go through. But I'm wondering if we could start, perhaps, if you could give us an idea of your own journey of tears to triumph.
Well, like everybody else in life, I've had emotional seasons. You know, the inner life is like the outer natural world. There are seasons. You have winter as well as spring. And winter is cold and winter is difficult in certain ways, or it can be depending on where you live, but it also has its exquisite beauty. And most importantly, it's always followed by spring. So I've had the winters of my discontent, as Shakespeare would say. I've had the times of my life that have not been happy. And they have also been some of the most growth-filled times in my life. And I talk about in the book about one particular period of my life that was extremely difficult based on a personal tragedy that I'd gone through. But I also look back on that year many years ago as having been deeply formative, even one during which I feel some things came together inside myself, as difficult a time as it was, that absolutely established my path ahead because in some strange way I was in fact on a subconscious level gathering my forces at that time. And I think that the turbulent waters of life for me and for everybody I've ever witnessed are part of the journey of life and learning. I know for me and everyone I've ever witnessed closely, and I have witnessed many people closely in my career, learning how to navigate the painful times of life is part of learning how to successfully navigate life itself. So I talk about my own journey in the book in terms of my own year of tears, and I learned to recognize what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. And we have developed a society that so, it does more than trivialize the inner life. It co-opts. There are certain forces of thinking and behaving in our society that has co-opted the inner life for its own purposes. Particularly what I'm talking about in this book is the medicalization of our despair. there's a normal spectrum of human despair. When you ask me my own journey is like everybody else. I've been through those moments of despair everybody has been through, the painful and bitter breakups, the professional failures, the financial hardships, the loss of my parents, best friend and sister. You go through these things in life. It's really, we're too focused on what your journey has been, on what my journey has been. Sometimes we need to step back. What is the human journey? What has everybody been through? Part of our psychotherapeutic neurosis at this time is we're too focused on the individual sufferer. And when we step back and we see these collective patterns, number one, we recognize certain things are just part of life because they happen to everybody and that they've been happening for many thousands of years and nobody called it a disease before. And secondly, that sometimes we're in pain, as I talk about in the book, because certain things are wrong in the world. And if I just address my pain over it or your pain over it, then we're not moving into what we need, which is collectively understanding the things that we need to change. You know, there are serious mental illnesses such as schizophrenia and bipolar, and you know, the disease model is certainly understandable, reasonable. Psychotherapeutic drugs is a legitimate conversation. But what we're doing now is we're prescribing antidepressants. The over-medication of America is the epidemic we need to be discussing. And the over-prescription of antidepressants is very much part of that very dysfunctional reaction to the experience of being human.
Hi, this is Catherine calling. I had a disconnect, unfortunately, on my end, and so we had this brief interruption. Marianne, are you still on
yes,
the line?
Yes, I am. You know, it's so funny. It was one of those situations where you're talking and then there's silence on the other end, and you're wondering if you're just really boring the person. So I'm glad that we're reconnected.
My apologies to you and to all of our listeners. I just, it's one of those strange things, and I was disconnected, but we're back now, and I would love to continue with our conversation. And as I was listening to you, before we got cut off, you were speaking about how your journey is really every person's journey, and what you're explaining is an example for us all. And
yeah,
we are too
focused in our society on the journey of the individual sufferer. You know, the psychotherapeutic model has made it about your pain or my pain or George's pain or Olivia's pain. When really, when we step back, we realize two things. First of all, that certain chapters of pain and normal despair are simply a part of everyone's life. And secondly, we come to understand that some of the things that we're also upset about these days are collective problems. And when we step back and we see that so many of these issues are collective, then we're much more likely to come together and address those problems, which is important. So the epidemic of what I was saying was that the epidemic of depression that people talk about in our society today is not the only issue we should be looking at. We need to look at the over-medication of America, but particularly in terms of depression, we need to look at the over-prescription of antidepressants and what the overall effect is of the fact that we're all rushing to numb our pain and to distract ourselves from our pain, to put a medical model over it, to say that we have a disease, we have a disorder, rather than asking ourselves whether or not our psychic pain is not, in fact, as significant as our physical pain in the sense that it conveys an important message. When you have physical pain, it's your body telling you you need to address something. And when we have psychic pain, the same is true. We're being told to address something, and simply numbing that pain is not the answer.
Well, this makes so much sense to me, and I have been in communication with a lot of people who are struggling with this issue, and the real problem, as I see it, is that when they do reach out for help, the answer they're given are these drugs to somehow suppress the feelings as if there's something wrong with them, and having them go on with their lives with the drug-suppressed sadness or depression or whatever it may be. What is the long-term effect? Do you have any idea of what happens to people who are following this path and how it might have a
Well, it's interesting that you said that. You know, since I've published the book, I can't even tell you the stories I've heard. It's like it used to be, well, everybody has somebody in their family who has cancer. Now it's everybody has somebody in their circle of influence, their family, their friends, who is on meds. And in answer specifically to what you just said, a woman told me yesterday that she had said to her psychiatrist, what are the long-term effects of these antidepressants? And he actually said, well, we don't know. But then we don't know the long-term effects of Diet Coke either. That's what her psychiatrist told her. I know, it's horrifying. But the pharmaceutical industry knows the long-term effects of its bottom line with telling so many people not only that they should be on these pills, but that they should expect to be on them for the rest of their lives. And it's worth noting that that's what happens when you have a market-based healthcare system. Because in a country where you have a universal healthcare system, the system is invested in your getting off meds if you don't need them any longer. In a market-based, there are forces who are invested in your staying on them. But I want to go back to what you said about reaching out for help. My book is about reaching up for help.
Mm.
The internal, when you have an internal problem, part of the problem with the pharmaceutical model of treating normal despair is that you are using an external remedy to solve what is an internal problem. You know, how can you, if you do recognize the emotional, psychological, spiritual dimensions of our internal pain, how can you look to a corner of society that doesn't even recognize, doesn't factor in the inner life in its calculations? How could that be the corner that we look to for solution? And by the way, I'm not an anti-doctor person or an anti-medical person, quite the opposite. I have great respect. But they need to stay in their lane. And internal existential despair is not a medical issue. And just as they would tell me to stay in my lane, I'm telling them to stay in their lane. You know what I'm saying? We also work on the level of our expertise and understanding and psychological and emotional and spiritual despair, which, by the way, has been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's not like people just became heartbroken. And what my book is about the spiritual context. I all the great religious systems speak to the reality of human suffering and to the transcendence of human suffering. And the three spiritual transmissions that I talk about in the book are that of Buddha, that of the covenant of Israel and the story of Moses in the Old Testament, and the story of Jesus. Buddha began his journey to enlightenment with the realization life is suffering. The story of the Exodus begins with the suffering of the Israelites as slaves in Egypt. And of course, the story of the cross is the story of Jesus' suffering. This is a symbol for the fact that life lived outside the vortex of our alignment with the divine within us is a life of chaos and suffering. But realizing that is the beginning of the journey that culminates in enlightenment, nirvana, resurrection, promised land, self-actualization, inner peace, by whatever name we call it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to elucidate in the book. I don't just say, let's not numb ourselves. I say, let's do this instead, and that is mine the great religious traditions for their inner gold so that we can return again to the real internal journey, the hero's journey, whether you think of it in spiritual or secular terms, by which we evolve beyond the suffering self, the self at the effect of the insanity of the world in which we live, to the peace of the inner peace, the peace of God, that is our natural inheritance and where we are supposed to be, where we are created to be as children of God.
Absolutely. And is this really what you're speaking of when you say enlightenment? It's about this inner journey?
Yes. You know, the enlightenment is a recognition. It's not a change. It's a recognition. We've all had those moments. You know, you've held your baby in your arms for the first time. You've fallen in love. You've been with a friend. You've embraced a friend. We've all had those moments when it was like, this is what it's supposed to be. You see a child, you know, a baby at the beach. We all at one point lived in that place of just pure glee living here. Or you were hiking, you were in a wilderness. I remember when I was hiking in the Beartooth Mountains of Montana years ago, and I looked around and it was like, yeah, these are the moments are the exception rather than the rule for most of us, very much mm-hmm. so. But we do have those moments. And the Course in Miracles defines light as understanding. We live this, and the enlightened are those who understand. The problem with the world today is that we live outside the circle of our spiritual understanding. Our spiritual understanding is that we are beings of love, and we are here to love and be loved, period, end of story. That is our identity, and that is our purpose. But we live in a world that is dominated instead by spiritual ignorance. We think we're separate beings, we're physical beings, we're mortal beings, here to do whatever we want. And that mental construct, that mental lens, is insane, and it leads to suffering for ourselves, and it leads to suffering for all living things. And that's what humanity is. And humanity must evolve beyond that consciousness, not only if we're to be happy, but if we're to survive. And that's another thing about the overuse of antidepressants. This is not a time to be numb. This is a time to be very clear about what humanity is doing to itself and what we need to change.
In that light, can you speak a little more about the relationship and the connection of what we're going through individually and how that plays into the collective? Because you speak about individual and collective suffering.
Yes.
But so our individual choices are going to impact the whole.
Not only individual choices, but to see that the individual depression is a symptom many times of the collective malaise. We are living at a time when our collective behavior towards the environment has become so dysfunctional, it is so irreverent, it is so destructive that our entire ecosystem could implode within 20 years. How could you not be depressed about that?
Yeah.
ISIL is out of control, clearly. I mean, we're doing what we can, but people, you can actually see them behead people on the internet. How could we not be depressed? Income inequality is so extreme in our country alone that the average American is financially squeezed no matter what they do. How could we not be depressed? So there's a mm-hmm. way in which if you're looking at the world today and not grieving, I wonder if you're really looking. But the message of the book is if you're not also rejoicing and celebrating in the possibilities for transformation, should we realign ourselves with the spiritual truth within us, then we're not spiritually embracing, we're not informed, we're not embracing the possibilities of this moment. So, you know, where would we be if the abolitionists had not been upset? Where would
yeah.
we be if the abolitionists had known how to just chill and take the edge off? You can imagine with that, with the current model, you can see people going up to Susan B. Anthony and saying, girl, you know, you create drama wherever you go. We have embraced it's faux spirituality, it's faux inner peace. It's this feeling of emotional flatline that is considered the new norm. It's like we're Stepfordizing ourselves.
No, that is very, very interesting. Could you go a little bit deeper into that? Because I see that all over where the spiritual norm of the day is to say, oh, all I have to do is be, and I can just let all this mayhem go on. I don't have to engage it.
Yeah, well, that's not what any serious spiritual path ever has said. No serious spiritual path on the planet ever has given any of us a pass on addressing the suffering of other sentient beings. This is a modern concoction. This is an aberration. We are not here to ignore the darkness. We are here to transform the darkness. And you can, if you go to the doctor and you have a broken leg, the doctor doesn't ask to see your elbow. You must address the wound. You must address the wound. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I think a lot of this is based on a misunderstanding of the whole notion that this world is an illusion. The world is an illusion, but that is not, if you walk into a room and your someone you love is having a nightmare, you don't then say, oh, well, they'll wake up, they'll be fine in the morning. No, you go to wake them up. Say, honey, it's a nightmare, wake up, it was just a nightmare. Because you realize they're suffering within that dream. God does not deny our suffering. God does not say, oh, the three-dimensional world is an illusion. And you're talking to a metaphysician. I know it's an illusion. But the message of it being an illusion is not that we ignore it. What we are to ignore is its power over us. You know, the Course in Miracles talks about the difference between negative denial and positive denial. You know, there's a difference between transcendence and denial. Denial is where, what you were saying, like, oh, well, you know, it's going on, but, you know, I'll just drink my green juice and everything will be okay. No, it won't be okay. Good luck with that green juice when all those GMOs are in the food supply. If the food supply is being poisoned, no matter how much green juice you're drinking today, it's going to be a problem for you and for your children.
Yeah, so true, so true. And so how do people begin to pick themselves up and start taking real steps that will integrate some of the wisdom you're sharing in your book, Tears to Triumph?
Well, you can't just fight disease. You have to cultivate health. And you can't just fight depression. You have to cultivate happy thoughts. Now, some people would say, she just wants us to think happy thoughts. Well, let's be clear about what I mean by think happy thoughts. You cannot see yourself as a victim and be happy. You cannot fail to forgive, withhold forgiveness, and be happy. You cannot fail to atone for your own mistakes and be happy. You cannot fail to make amends where you need to make amends and be happy. You cannot fail to rise to the occasion of your own responsibilities, your own impeccability, and be happy. You cannot continue to grasp and struggle for things outside yourself to provide your happiness and be happy. You cannot blame other people and be happy. So what we have to do, you know, when Buddha realized that life was suffering and he began his journey, he was given the Eightfold Path. That's what I talk about in the book, right living, right speech. Moses was given the Ten Commandments, the Covenant of Israel, where God said, okay, this is how I want you to live. Jesus said we must love each other. So all the great transmissions say you want to be happy. This is what you have to do. And part of the problem with medicalizing the issue is you get to think of yourself as a victim of this disorder, and there's really nothing you can do. No, excuse me. That's not the situation. The situation is that our psychic pain is due to things that must be addressed. Sometimes it's things within ourselves, and sometimes it's things in the world. So, for instance, forgiveness. I have an entire chapter on the book about forgiveness. We cannot withhold forgiveness and ultimately be happy because miracles, which are the self-correcting mechanism of the universe, occur in the presence of love. And anytime I'm withholding love, I am blocking, deflecting a miracle. When most people go into a therapist today, most people, and they say, I'm unhappy, usually the therapist does not say, the first thing we need to address is, who are you not forgiving? And that's why, you know, I hope this book will be read by more and more therapists, psychiatrists, etc., many of whom do know that this antidepressant model is getting out of hand. You know, it's not like I'm the first person mentioning this. People are slowly realizing this, including many people on them. And I do want to say at this moment that nobody who is on antidepressants should get off, except even if they want to, but only with, you know, very, very strict medical supervision. These are very powerful drugs. You can't just throw them in the trash. You have to get off them very, very carefully. And they're addictive for a reason, by the way. So at this point, the issue is for us to recognize that in order to be happy, we must dismantle the mindset that is really a desperate mindset that dominates our culture and dominates our world. It is irreverent, and that is why we suffer within this chaos. So in the book, that's why, you know, I talk about Buddha, and I talk about the story of Exodus, and I talk about Jesus in terms of the metaphysical power, the vortexes of spiritual transmission that they represent in our lives. You know, take the hero's journey, whether you call it secular terms, the hero's journey, or you call it the spiritual journey. These are all just words. But the journey back to your heart. because the journey lived outside the vortex of our heart is a depressing world, not just for you, but for any of us.
Absolutely. And I know from a lot of the work that you've done and from reading your books that you work with people and you give them things to say to themselves. Some people may call it prayer, some people may call it affirmations, but how would you advise people to begin to make that turn back towards the heart?
Well, read this book or any book about this kind of thing. I mean, that's what the entire book is. I think the first major tool is meditation. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I've tried meditation, but when you actually ask them what they did, it means they stared into a candle for a couple of weeks. That's not a serious meditation practice. You know, physical exercise is parallel to spiritual exercise. If you do it, it works. If you express within your heart the willingness to forgive, the willingness to atone for your own mistakes, it works. If you seriously meditate with a mantra, with something, whether it's the workbook of A Course in Miracles or transcendental meditation or Buddhist meditation, there's so many different kinds of meditation. It works. If you pray, prayer is the medium of miracles. So I certainly talk about many of these things in the book, but any book about a serious spiritual path is a book about the journey out of suffering. But our entire model of what it takes to be happy in our society today is a setup for despair. Because we're told that you have to figure out what would make you happy, which for most people in today's world, we are trained to think, oh, it's the bigger house or apartment that will make me happy. It's a certain amount of money that will make me happy. It's a certain kind of relationship that will make me happy. But as Buddha said, things of this world can only bring temporary happiness. So many people today, particularly our young people, they're like on the make, they're struggling, they're grasping to make things happen. Then even when you achieve that whatever it is that you think it is would make you happy, you get it, and too often, as Buddha said, the fairy dust rubs off, and then you're in despair because even having gotten what you thought would make you happy didn't make you happy. And once again, this issue of young people, you know, FDA has warned, it officially warns, that the use of antidepressants can increase rather than decrease suicidal ideation. And, you know, I'm old enough, I remember, I get it, the 20s are hard. You know, you're an adult, you're having these adult situations for the first time in your life, adult challenges, and yet you haven't lived, accumulated enough layers of years to have some understanding and some practice at this stuff. So mm-hmm. It's depressing, it's hard, but it's not a mental illness. And so many of our young people, so many people in their 20s are on these meds, and it infantilizes our development. If you don't know how to navigate the hard times in life, you don't really know how to navigate life. You're in this bubble. This is not a time for that. This is, you know, I talk in the book about a term that my colleague Paul Hawken has coined. He talks about blessed unrest. This is a time where blessed unrest is appropriate.
I love that term. I mm-hmm. love that term.
Blessed unrest. I love it.
And I think really one of the real, to me, values and joys of your book is it really does allow people to be who they are, to embrace their experience, and to realize that they are empowered through their spiritual practices and understandings to transform their experiences. Just to remind people, we are speaking with Marianne Williamson, and we're speaking about the book Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment. And you just hit on something, Marianne, that really struck a chord, because for a long time I read and looked and was very curious and interested in this whole movement of, you know, the secret and manifestation and creating your life. But it seems to be so based on materialism. So as someone who can really understand this, can you explain why it may work materially, but how people can apply the same principles to that spiritual journey?
Well, your point is very well taken. You know, we become enamored of, you can think it and make it happen. So did Hitler. That's not the high spiritual mountain. The high spiritual mountain is not that you can have an intention and make it manifest. So did Hitler. That's not the spiritual on the mountaintop. You know, Buddha talked about the power of intention, but he talked about right intention and wrong intention. And when your only intention is to get something you think you want, you know, a cancer cell is a cell in the body that has lost its natural and it has disconnected from its natural intelligence. When we're in a state of natural intelligence, we don't want to just go after what we want. We want to collaborate with other cells in order to serve the healthy functioning of the whole. And that's the difference metaphysically between magic and miracles. Magic is where I just want to use, you know, the power of intention to get what I want. Spirituality or the miracles is where you put yourself in service, you put yourself in devotion, you surrender yourself to be used by love for its purposes. Mm. So the idea that you can manifest something, so what? So did Charles Manson. You know, somebody said to me the other day who was obsessed about followers on their Facebook page, they said, yeah, Charles Manson had followers too. I mean, we've just allowed this business model to dictate what it means to be human, make it happen, produce something. And that's why it particularly disturbs them for young people who everybody feels like, you know, I'm not worthy unless I achieve this. I'm not worthy unless I make this happen. At such a young age. When, in fact, when we are in our natural state, we begin to practice, there's a term in the Course in Miracles, effortless accomplishment. Accomplishment is our natural state, but the embryo doesn't have to struggle to become a baby. And you know, the bud doesn't have to struggle to become a blossom. And the acorn doesn't have to struggle to become an oak tree. Accomplishment occurs naturally when we are in our natural state. But I'll tell you something, when you're in struggle mode, when you're in self-will mode, when you're in desperate mode, that's not when you accomplish. Even if you make something happen, whatever you do is infused with the consciousness with which you do it. And if you're doing something out of desperation, it will ultimately have a desperate effect in your life.
Yes, because that's actually what's being magnified in the attraction. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we have some time still to speak, but I wanted to let people know that they have an opportunity to connect with you. You're going to be doing a lecture and book signing on July 12th at the Open Center, well, sponsored by the Open Center. It'll actually be at Marble Collegiate Church. Can you tell people something about what this event will be?
Well, and first of all, people, in addition to the Open Center and finding out more, they can go to my website, which is marianne.com. And July 12th here in New York City, I will be talking about the book at Marble Collegiate Church. And then also I speak every Wednesday night at Middle Collegiate Church in New York, and it's live streamed for free. But I will be talking about the book specifically that night, July 12th. And, you know, people can go to marianne.com to find out all the various things, and they can go to amazon.com if they want to read the book before the lecture and then have an even deeper, you know, understanding if they care to, or they can buy it that night, obviously.
Yeah, I think actually at the lecture, the entrance tuition actually includes a copy of the book.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For those people who want to go,
good point. Thank you for pointing that out.
opencenter.org and register for the event, and you also get the book, and you'll be able to get it signed that night. So I just want, I'll mention it again before I end the program, and also I'm printing it on the PRN.FM website on my archive page. This interview will be there, and people can go there and find the links to your website and to the Open Center if they want to register.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Another thing I'd really love for you to touch on, and this really the thing that I know you from I don't want to mention how many years at this point, but is the Course in Miracles. Now, I read the Course in Miracles, and my coming to be aware of it was because of the work that you did with it and around it, and you still are teaching that. So can you speak to people about what this beautiful book is about and how it can help them?
A Course in Miracles is not, as you know, it's not a religion. It is a psychological mind training on relinquishing a thought system based on fear and accepting instead a thought system based on love. The world in which we live is dominated by a loveless perspective. It is one which leaves us all feeling spiritually homeless, whether we know that that's what's happening inside us or not. And the spiritual journey, which is also the psychological journey, psychotherapy and the spiritual experience are at their peak the same thing. The healing of the mind has to do with dismantling this mindset within ourselves and substituting for that a new one, which is true to who we are. The old mindset leads us to blame when we need to learn how to bless. The old one leads us to see ourselves as separate and to compete with each other, when the spiritual mindset leads us to realize our spiritual oneness, our brotherhood, and how we are here to collaborate with each other. This the old mindset, the ego mindset, breeds fear, breeds condemnation, breeds judgment, breeds attack, breeds anger, breeds defensiveness. And the spiritual mindset breeds acceptance, breeds inner peace, and breeds love. And, you know, A Course in Miracles does not have any kind of monopoly on truth. There's no doctrine, there's no dogma. But it is one way that many people, certainly myself included, are embracing these universal spiritual themes that are found at the heart of all the great religious and spiritual teachings. And that's the really exciting thing about this moment, is the mainstreaming of spiritual principles. So, you know, there's a particular form of that path for anyone who seeks it. You know, books will fall at your feet if you don't know what path speaks to you. But the point is they're all leading to the same place, and that's the healing of the mind and the healing of the heart, so that we can have inner peace at last. And having that inner peace, we can get about the business of creating outer peace, which is our purpose on this earth.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I also wanted to mention that work that you're doing in addition to your book, Tears to Triumph, is because I have encountered many people that have created through their thought patterns, perhaps, almost an imprisonment. And these thoughts keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And it's almost as if their thoughts themselves are their very own jailer and tormentor. And that they can't seem to recognize that they are creating this existence. And for
well,
me,
the only place where I would suggest a difference in what you're saying is to take out the word almost. It's not like it almost created an internal prison. The ego mind is an internal prison. It's not like the mind is almost our tormentor. It is. So what you described is exactly the case, but it's not an almost. And that's, once again, that's what depression is. That's what serious anxiety is. It's life lived at the effect of mental tormentor. And that's why in the Old Testament, that's what the Pharaoh represents, the inner slave driver. That's what the Pharaoh metaphysically represents, that internal dictator, that internal slave driver. And the story of the Exodus is the story of our deliverance from that. And that's what the spiritual journey is. Mm-hmm. Whether you think of it, and everybody's on a spiritual journey, many people just don't know it, and you can certainly think of these things in secular terms. The issue is not believing in something outside yourself. The issue is to experience something inside yourself, and that experience is mercy, love, compassion, generosity. There is no place outside that vortex where we can find our happiness.
I'm so much in agreement with you, and I really am very much loving and appreciating being able to bring this message to people. And I wanted to remind everyone that you can definitely connect directly through the website marianne.com, M-A-R-I-A-N-N-E, marianne.com, and you'll connect to all the work that you're doing. And I do believe now you were focused more on the West Coast, but now you're more local to the East Coast. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm living in New York now. I lecture every Wednesday night at the Middle Collegiate Church, 2nd Avenue, between 6th and 7th. And the talks are live streamed, so I still do weekly live streams now on Wednesday nights. And the link is up for 72 hours. those talks are based on A Course in Miracles, as you were mentioning. And all people have to do is register. It's free, and you can go to marianne.com for that.
Exactly, and that's wonderful. And I highly, highly recommend all of us and all of you who are tuned in this morning to get the book, Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment. You can get it as a hardcover, and I believe it's also available in audiobook as well, is it not, Marianne?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there's
audio
a lot of
and Kindle and all those things we all do these days.
So there's no obstacle as far as that's
right.
concerned. And also, I really believe that people are searching, but if you can get, it's like counsel of an elder, if you counsel of someone who's walked this path as well, then I really believe that the work and your work, Marianne, is something that can uplift people. And you have a lot of books that people can look into based on where they want to explore. And I just really am so grateful for the many years you've been making this contribution into the world. I think you have impacted millions of lives, and that's really something to be grateful for. And
I
just want to thank you for all of us. But before we finish up this morning, I wanted to open the door for you to maybe just remind people what they'll find in Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment, or perhaps if you have another message you'd like to give that we haven't covered so far.
Well, thank you. I think what my heart has held within it and what I've tried to pour on these pages is the idea that our pain is understandable. There's nothing wrong with you if you're sad. There's nothing wrong with you if you're sad. It's like the world today is going through some deep stress, and there are many individual manifestations of this stress. It doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It just means that you're a sensitive human being. And the awakening, and the solution is a spiritual awakening, and that is to look at all the places that represent the current paradigm of consciousness, the way we look at each other, the very material based mental mindset that dominates our world. And we are being called not just individually but collectively to evolve beyond this in order to even survive, to thrive, to survive as a human race over the next 100 or 200 years. So this is a time not of defeat. It's a time of revolution, of spiritual revolution of consciousness. And each of us has an assignment, just like every cell in the body is assigned to an organ or bones or blood. Some of us are assigned to the arts, and some of us are assigned to science, and some of us are assigned to education. You, Catherine, you're assigned to this radio show. We all have these paths where we can best contribute. And tweaking our consciousness so that we see life a different way. You know, the Course in Miracles says the healing begins when we consider the possibility there might be another way. And that's what our sadness is calling us to. Right now, it's like the canaries in the coal mine are dying, and the owner of the coal mine is saying there's something wrong with the canaries. Quite the opposite. The fact that so many people are sad and anxious today is because something's wrong with the basic construct under which we're living. And this is a time to realize the value of the wisdom that we can learn in our times of pain, our times of suffering. It just means we're normal, sensitive human beings, and we can grow from this. We can grow from this and learn a greater capacity to love in our own lives because of this, and a greater capacity to be of service because we have learned that.
Very powerful. Thank you so, so much for spending this time with us this morning.
Well, thank you.
Yes, and so I am just going to remind people about your upcoming lecture and how to make connection with you. And thank you. I just want to say thank you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye now. And we have been speaking to Marianne Williamson, the author of Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment. It's a beautiful book. It's a journey in itself, and it takes us deep into our own connection on a metaphysical level and to understand what our experience, what our journey is happening, is occurring in relationship to our own calling, our own talents, our own capacities. So it, for me, it's a great way to perhaps get over the hump, perhaps really explain a few things, to make those connections, not on a religious level, but on a metaphysical level, to some of the greatest spiritual teachers of our, well, millennia. I won't say time, because we're talking about historic figures. But there is a journey, there is a message in each of these figures. And in the book, it goes through the light of the light of Buddha, the light of Moses, the light of Jesus, and just goes on to explain how we can reach towards our own version of resolution and enlightenment. I encourage you to get the book, or you can actually go and see a lecture by Marianne Williamson. She's doing a lecture and book signing, Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Journey from Suffering to Enlightenment. It's sponsored by the New York Open Center, and you can go to the website opencenter.org and search Marianne Williamson, and you'll be able to register right there online. It's Tuesday, July 12th at 7 p.m. It's location, the Marble Collegiate Church, which is at 5th Avenue and 29th Street in Manhattan. So I encourage, for those of you who would like to get that close connection, to do that. Marianne also does a weekly presentation on the Course in Miracles on Wednesdays, and you can find out about this and all the other things that she does at her website, marianne.com, marianne.com. And for the upcoming lecture, you can go directly to the Open Center website, and it's opencenter.org, and you just search Marianne Williamson, and you find out all about that event on July 12th. And as we are approaching the final moments of today's program, I once again would like to remind you and invite you to join me with some of the work that I am doing here in New York City, in Brooklyn primarily, Brooklyn, New York. I have an ongoing moving meditation class that will continue through the end of July, and then that will be it for this class. You can drop in for one or register for the four classes, for four in a series. And it's really about integrating the body, mind, and spirit. The practice that I do, Qigong, is based on traditional Chinese medicine, Taoism, Buddhism, and many of the ancient wisdom teachings of China. And we can think very often that we hold our tension in our body, the thoughts, the repetitive thoughts, that energy flows into the body. And when the body gets clogged with all this energy, it can lead to disease. So stress and worry can become ultimately a health challenge. And the work that I do is a really important way to release all of that blockage, all of that energy from our physical bodies. And through the meditation, the breathing, the allowing a focus into the fields of our heart, the fields of our vital life force, the fields of the quantum mind, it allows us to move into a much more expanded state of connecting and knowing and being able to function in a world with a greater sense of peace and trust, really. Because when you bring yourself into that alignment with the truth of who you are, that truth begins to flow into your field, It flows into the world surrounding you, and it begins to put a different order into your existence so that it is more harmonious in the reflection of your life and your purpose, your desire. And it also helps us to get into contact with our natural capacity to heal our bodies, to heal our minds, to heal our spirit. And it offers practices that you can learn, integrate into your lifestyle, and continue so that you can maintain that sense of well-being. I invite you to connect with me for that class, among other things. And one of the other things that I am doing and enjoying doing is connecting on a number of different levels with as community. I feel that community is so important on so many levels to reflect with each other, you know, bounce off ideas. Also, we can inspire each other and have a way of giving a different perspective. Sometimes when we're just in our heads, we lose perspective. And when we reflect with each other, we can get a more expansive notion of who we are, where we're going, what things mean in our lives. And then sometimes we just need that physical presence of a pat on the back, a hug, maybe some hands-on healing, some helping with energy. And in order to work with that, I have begun, and we have continued to have monthly meetings, spiritual support group, where we get together and talk and work with each other, help each other. And I do a lot of that hands-on healing, the energy healing. And that actually takes place on the third Wednesday of each month. So the one coming will be on July 20th, so that's something you can put that on your calendar. And we meet in Brooklyn as well. But all of this is very easily to reach. The transportation is good. I'm working in the general vicinity of the Barclay Center, which is close to the WBAI radio office. It's close to the Jhana Yoga Center, where I do the support group meetings, and Studio Maya, where I'm doing the movement classes. So you can make that connection with myself by either calling by phone, leave a message. My number is 347-480-1694. Again, my phone number is 347-480-1694. You can also correspond through email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. By any of those means, you can connect with me. And if you don't have a pen handy, you can always go to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, and search for the Heart of Mind Radio page. And we will, I always leave my connection there with contact numbers as well as links for you to reach out to the guest of this program. You can even go back through the series of programs we've had over the last couple of years, and you can research, make those connections, download shows that you may have missed. It's really a way of making that connection, working together to build community and to support each other in the various ways that we do. So if you are a health practitioner, a meditation practitioner, a movement practitioner, send me an email, because I'm working on building a database. I get requests from people in Long Island, in New Jersey, in the Bronx, who are looking for someone close by that they can connect with and work with to improve their lives. So if you're out there within the sound of my voice. And this is the internet, so it could be anywhere in the world, really. And you want to connect through this database, please send an email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And hopefully I'll see some of you on Saturday at 2 p.m. at Studio Maya for that class in movement, meditation, and mind-body spiritual practice. 603 Bergen Street in Brooklyn between Carlton and Vanderbilt Avenues. There is a fee, $20 per class, or for the four classes, $60. So make that connection by phone, 347-480-1694, or by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. I want to thank you for joining me today and invite you to stay tuned to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, for more fantastic programming 24/7. Keep this on your computer browser and check it out from time to time. Bye for now, and join me again, I invite you, on Friday mornings, 10 a.m., for Heart of Mind Radio. Have a good one.